recognize when we see old glory flying. There's a lot of men dead, so we can sleep in peace at night when we lay down our heads. My daddy served in the army. We lost his right eye, but he flew a flag out in our yard till the day that he died. He wanted my mother, my brother, my sister and me to grow up and live happy in the land of the free. Now this nation that I love is falling under attack. A mighty sucker punch came flying in from somewhere in the back. Soon as we could see clearly through our big black eye, man, we lit up your world like the 4th of July. Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list. And the Statue of Liberty started shaking her fist. And the eagle will fly, and it's gonna be here. When you hear Mother Freedom start ringing her bell, and it'll feel like the whole wide world is raining down. Brought to you courtesy of the red, white, and blue. Dog will fight when you rattle his cage, and you'll be sorry that you mess with the U.S. of A. 'Cause we'll put a boot in your ass, it's the American way. Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list, and the Statue of Liberty started shaking her fist, and the eagle will fly, and it's gone. When you hear Mother Freedom start ringing her bell, and it'll feel like the whole wide world is raining down on you. I'm brought to you courtesy of the red, white, and blue.
We will pay the price, but we will not count. Community looking for a new place to shop, eat, and save? Are you sick of paying full price? Would you like to save money at the places you enjoy most? Well, here's a popular savings book that is full of coupons catered to your local area. It's called Save Around. This book is full of exclusive discounts to help you save money around your town. Yes, that's save around. You will save money at restaurants, department stores, cars, even flowers. When I take my family out, there are seven of us. The average meal was about $110 to $140. Last time I took them out, and I'm holding a copy of the receipt right here, the check originally was $120. With the Save Around book, our meal cost $82 at a place we go to quite often. Who knew? And there are a few places we found that we are going to check out. View the books in your area before you buy. Go to freedomizerradio.com or barefootislegal.org. Just click on your city, and within a few days, you will be saving money around town with your new Save Around book. The views and opinions expressed during the BIL radio show are those of the host and not that of Freedomizer Radio or the broadcast affiliates.
Welcome to Barefoot is Legal Radio, where you will learn the benefits and your rights to live a barefoot lifestyle. And now, here to empower you and dispel the myth of going barefoot, is a full-time member of the barefoot community and victims legal advocate, your host, Nick Pierce.
Welcome to another edition of the Barefoot is Legal radio broadcast. I'm your host, Nick Pierce. For those of you that may not know, I am a full-time member of the barefoot community for over 20-plus years. I got rid of the last pair of anything that goes on my feet over 15 years ago. I'm the head of NP Media Group, where I did a radio show called The Business of Arts, Music, and Entertainment for a few years, where I empowered up-and-coming artists in the entertainment business to advance their careers. I'm also a victims legal advocate standing up for the human rights that we as the barefoot community have and the head of BIL's Victim Legal Services Department. Now, many of us have different reasons for going barefoot. For some of you, it may be for religious reasons. Some of you for cultural reasons. Others for medical reasons. Health. Even though our reasons are different, there are people out there that think that there are laws, policies, rules, regulations, or dangers about being barefoot in public. Whatever your reasons, call in, share your stories, your experiences, whatever issues you may have. If you want to be a part of the show today, the call-in number is 319-527-6208. Again, that's 319-527-6208. Press 1 to be on the air. We also have our live chat room open. You can get there by going to freedomizerradio.com. You can also check out our website, barefootislegal.org, our Facebook page and our Facebook group. Just type in Barefoot is Legal. You can interact with other members of the barefoot community during and after the broadcast. If you live a barefoot lifestyle or are interested in living a barefoot lifestyle, join our private group on Facebook. You can get there again. Barefoot is Legal. Now, keep in mind, though, this is not a fetish community. So for all you heavy-breathing fun seekers out there, this is not the place to get your rocks off on foot pictures. No, no, no. We are here to educate and empower you and spread the message that bare feet are legal. And with that said, now it's time to kick off your shoes if you are wearing them or still have any at all, and enjoy the next hour and a half of time that we have together. And I have a very special holiday episode lined up for you today.
Some of you may be celebrating the season in different ways. For some of you, it may be for Christmas. Some of you for Hanukkah, Festivus, and a variety of other celebrations that have been lumped all into this time of the year. Whatever the case, whatever you're, you know, whether you're expecting Santa Claus, Hanukkah Harry, the winter solstice, or Adam Sandler himself, the overall theme, though, this holiday season is light. With almost every following in practice, this is in some way, they celebrate it with light. And I'm here to shed light on the barefoot lifestyle and empower you to stand up for your rights. I also have a very special reading. I did it last year during the Christmas weekend, where I did the reading of my version of the Barefoot Night Before Christmas. And, you know, also we'll bring back some of the How We Handle Thems to wrap up the year as well. Next weekend, we have our special New Year's episode. I love talking about your goals and what your Barefoot New Year's resolutions are when it comes to living the barefoot lifestyle. If anybody wants to join me, though, if you want to talk about that earlier, be happy to have you on. Let's get started. 319-527-6208. Press 1 to be on the air. Now, how many of us are visiting family, and how accepting are they of your barefoot lifestyle? See, this always comes up a lot around the holidays, and how many of them agree? You know, most of our family wears shoes all the time, even in their house. Does your family not wear shoes in the house, though, normally? And on the holidays, when they have company over, do they wear any if they're normally barefoot? And if you're normally barefoot, do you expect others to wear shoes or take them off at your house when they're visiting during the holidays? So, you know, a lot of times people think that the holidays are more of a special occasion, and they, you know, they'll wear their, you know, special sweater, or, you know, they'll dress up a little different. How does that affect you living a barefoot lifestyle and your family when they look at it? Very curious to know some topics that I want to address today. 319-527-6208. And is this the best time to go out if you normally do not, you know, break out the closets and go through all your shoes that you've had stashed away for so long? Do you normally go out just to get something special? I mean, you know, and a lot of you have probably been into barefoot sandals, you know, the bottomless sandals and all that. Do you do something special for the holidays? How do you decorate? If you decorate your feet at all? Kind of curious. I know there's been a lot of discussions in the groups, so I'm going to be addressing some of the questions and all that that they have as well. But again, I want to keep this holiday episode a little more on the lighthearted side. But of course, you could always call in with your legal questions if you have any, and I'm also going to be answering some of your questions on the air. Share your stories, your experiences. Anyway, how about the Christmas stocking? That's some interesting trivia lined up for you. You know, how many of you are so against shoes that you won't even have a Christmas stocking? I did see something like that. That's very interesting. You know, I mean, of course, it's a great use for a sock. I mean, anytime you want to just not wear it and just maybe use it for something else. I mean, I have one sock. I don't know if you've heard this story before. I have one sock. It's actually someone's kid left it over here, and they lost the other half of it, and I guess they lost its pair. And so I said, by the way, when your kid was over, when they took their shoes off, you left a sock here. They never reclaimed it, and they lost the other pair. They lost the other one somehow. So I used it to cover up. I have one of those blow dart guns, so I just use it over the mouthpiece in the corner just to keep it covered so it doesn't get all dusty. You know, you really don't use a blow gun that much. To blow darts at things, but in the event I do take it out to play, it's nice just to keep the mouthpiece covered. So I found a great use for a sock. You know, I guess some of you may have a great use for a sock, stocking, whatever you may call it. Hang it somewhere and see what little gifts you get in there this holiday season. And a lot of different things, New Year's resolutions. I know we spoke about that. Well, anyway, to the Christmas stocking. This is going to take a little time, and then I'd like to get to your phone calls. But I'll just throw this one out there. You know, there's really no written record of the origin of the Christmas stocking, but there are some popular legends that attempt to tell the story and the history of the Christmas tradition when it comes down to the Christmas stocking. And one such legend has several variations, but the one I'm going to go with here is probably one of the most popular. See, very long ago, there lived a poor man. And his three, I'm just going to go with reading this story that I have here. A very long time ago, there lived a poor man and his three very beautiful daughters. He had no money to get his daughters married, and he was worried what would happen to them after his death. So, Saint Nicholas was passing through when he heard the villagers talk about the girls. Saint Nicholas wanted to help, but knew that the old man wouldn't accept charity. So he decided to help in secret. After dark, he threw three bags of gold through an open window, and one landed in a stocking. Now, when the girls and their father woke up the next morning, they found the bags of gold, and were, of course, they were overjoyed. The girls were able to get married and live happily ever after. Now, other versions of the story say that St. Nicholas threw the three bags of gold directly into the stockings, which were hung by a fireplace to dry. Possible. See, this is where, you know, of course, storytelling throughout the years gets just more and more embellished. So anyway, this led to the custom of children hanging stockings or putting out shoes to eagerly await gifts from St. Nicholas. See, sometimes the story told with gold balls instead of bags of gold. And that's why there are three gold balls that sometimes represent oranges. And I guess that's where we also came up with the symbolism of the Christmas ornaments, like the Christmas balls. Very popular to hang on trees, see them all over in every store to decorate with. And it just became a symbol of St. Nicholas as the gold bags turned into gold balls that were thrown in a stocking. And then eventually one thing led to another. So St. Nicholas is the gift giver. And this is also the origin of, the three balls like I was talking about, of pawnbrokers. So the tradition actually began in the European country originally. Children simply used one of their everyday socks, but eventually special Christmas stockings were created for this purpose. And the Christmas stocking custom is pretty much derived from the, I think it's the German figure Odin. So according to one author and one historian, children would place their boots filled with carrots, straw, or sugar near the chimney for Odin's flying horses. So they would eat, and then Odin would reward those children for their kindness by replacing the food that the flying horses ate with gifts or candy. So this practice is also claimed to survive in Germany, Belgium, the Netherlands, after the adoption of Christianity, and became associated with St. Nicholas as a result of the process of the Christianization and all that. They needed to have, you know, this tradition, and they, of course, lumped into the holiday and all that. Today, stores still carry a large variety of styles of Christmas stockings, and Christmas stockings are also a popular homemade gift. And it just managed to survive throughout all these centuries, I guess. Now, this claim is disputed, though, as there are no records of stocking filling practices related to Odin until there was the merging of St. Nicholas with Odin. St. Nicholas had a earlier merging with the grandmother cult in Bari, I think it is, Italy, where the grandmother would put gifts in stockings. This again merged with the St. Nicholas tradition and would later travel and merge with the Odin cults. See, many families create their Christmas stockings with each family member's name applied to them. This way, Santa Claus would know which stocking belonged to which family members. I guess he didn't get anything that was supposed to go in there confused. And I guess if it had a name on it, the reindeer now that are used would know that it's for the children and not to eat the stockings. But, you know, just a little tidbit. We're always talking about shoes and anti-shoe and living the barefoot lifestyle. But what a great way to get rid of something that goes on your feet and hang it up and hope that bags of gold get tossed in there in the middle of the night. Wouldn't that be great? But maybe myth, maybe legend, maybe truth. We don't know, but we do have a lot of myths that go along with living the barefoot lifestyle. You know, we talk about it all year, the health department letters, the laws that people think exist. But hey, why not? Why don't we just believe in something else, maybe something a little more magical this holiday season? And just think that, hey, now there's a good incentive. Take off those shoes, take off those stockings, get them filled with presents or something based on that tradition, and hope that someone throws some gold through your windows right into them. Do you know the largest Christmas stocking? If anybody wants to call in, if they think they know the answer, call in 319-527-6208. Again, 319-527-6208. Call in, and maybe you'll win something. Who knows? If you know the where the largest Christmas or how big or whatever the largest Christmas stocking is, we'll do that to caller number 5. How's that? But yep. Now there was the world's largest Christmas stocking. It's the former world's largest Christmas stocking, and that was created for by supporters for the Children's Society in December of 2007. Guinness World Records awarded the stocking the title of the largest Christmas stocking in November 14th of 2007. It was in Excel in London, but it's no longer the largest one anymore. There is a larger one. So why don't we make the largest barefoot? You know, I mean, if you look at it, you see like the largest cheeseburger, the largest rubber band ball, the largest piece of toast or something like that through all these different places. Why don't we make the largest foot to symbolize our lifestyle? 319-527-6208 is a way to be a part of the show. Yeah, they do have the largest piece of cheese, the largest wheel of cheese. That's right. And that's just in this country. We already have the largest ball of yarn, the largest ball of rubber bands. We have the largest wheel of cheese. We have the largest picnic basket. We have the largest clothespin. We do have the world's largest cuckoo clock, too. Amazing. You would think that that would be in Germany somewhere. But we have the world's largest cuckoo clock. We have the largest pair of underwear. St. Louis, Missouri. Oh, that's something I'm proud of. Anyway, yeah, let's erect the largest barefoot. Why not? Well, anyway, we do have some great content, and I do have my reading of The Night Before Christmas, Barefoot Night Before Christmas, but also by popular demand. While we're lining up our callers and stuff during this episode, we also have our how we handle them and some different scenarios. Don't beg for shoes is what I call this one. So enjoy it.
And now it's time to play. How do we handle them?
Excuse me. Do you have any shoes?
What? Well, that's a silly question. Do you have any manners? Let me ask you this. Do you always ask customer for things when they walk into your restaurant? Is your manager here?
I am the manager.
They need to pay you more, so you do not have to beg customers for things. I know times could be tough, and if you sold shoes, I would buy you a pair if you need them. I'm ready to order. I think I'll have the veal saltimbocca with a side of penne and a glass of your finest plunger fathead Merlot.
A little bit of humor there as far as how it would be great to handle some of these dimwits that tell us that we need shoes and we go into a business. And yeah, definitely. So there you have it. The don't beg for shoes. And yeah, I got some more stuff lined up for you during this broadcast. But we do need to take a break coming into the top of the hour. When we come back, our callers and more, stay tuned to the Barefoot Night Before Christmas. Joining you this holiday weekend, as you're traveling or just sitting home, I hope everybody's safe and enjoying the holiday. We'll be right back.
How would you like to make your work more enjoyable, be more creative and relaxed, all while sitting at your desk? That's exactly what my Serenity Rug has done for me. This revolutionary footrest, I can't even call it a footrest, because this thing encourages movement of your feet, which results in more blood flow. While traditional footrests advocate the motionless placement of your feet, I found that I'm unconsciously digging my feet into the long, soft grass strands of the Serenity Rug. It delivers an incredibly relaxing sensation that closely resembles the feeling of an exotic foot massage. If you have ever had a foot massage that made you want to stay there for hours, you know what I'm talking about. If you have not heard about the Serenity Rug, check them out at SerenityRug.com and join the exclusive Serenity Rug community and enjoy a feeling of comfort and relaxation that most will never experience. They've sold out before, so I suggest you do your feet a favor and grab one of these. Again, that's SerenityRug.com.
Are you members of the Barefoot community looking for a new place to shop, eat, and save? Are you sick of paying full price? Would you like to save money at the places you enjoy most? Well, here's a popular savings book that is full of coupons catered to your local area. It's called Save Around. This book is full of exclusive discounts to help you save money around your town. Yes, that's Save Around. You will save money at restaurants, department stores, cars, even flowers. When I take my family out, there are seven of us. The average meal was about $110 to $140. Last time I took them out, and I'm holding a copy of the receipt right here, the check originally was $120. With the Save Around book, our meal cost $82 at a place we go to quite often. Who knew? And there are a few places we found that we are going to check out. View the books in your area before you buy. Go to freedomizerradio.com or barefootislegal.org. Just click on your city, and within a few days, you will be saving money around town with your new Save Around book.
Got a spare tire around that waist? Is your muffin top over the top? Do you binge eat uncontrollably? We are the government and we are here to help you. Here at our free FEMA weight loss camp, we have numerous ways to help you shed those unsightly, unwanted pounds. FEMA, or Fatties, Eating Mitigated, automatically has a communist-style weight loss czar that specializes in centralized weight loss planning and communal extended fasting programs to shed that fat away in no time. Skin and boned means extra tone is the motto. Just remember, there is no way you can do it on your own. We will forcefully assist you into compliance. Failure is not an option in this utopian wonderland. How fantastic. Typical workout regimes include digging ditches and restocking them with dirt, building railways and more. Get life skills while you get lean. How do you join? Simple. Recite the Constitution in a public commons or violate the Patriot Act that includes simple misdemeanors. It's really that easy to get your own fenced-in slice of Americana. Stop being a fatty. The state is your daddy.
Hey, Freedom S, join me, Proof Negative. Weeknights, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific, as we fight the New World Order together. right here on Freedomizer Radio, your exclusive home of the Proof Negative Show.
Did you know that every time you swipe your debit card, those behind-the-scenes transaction fees make the big banks even richer? In 2016 alone, these fees added up to $60 billion. Yes, that's billion with a B. Well, what if there was a way to have the convenience of a debit card, but reroute those fees from the banksters to organizations actually doing good in the world? Organizations that protect the environment or feed hungry children? What if your swipes could literally change the world? Well, Groundswell SPC has found a way to do just that. We've designed a Visa debit card program that shares transaction fees with your favorite cause. Groundswell partners with nonprofit organizations that promote the card to their supporters. Their supporters then use the card to power the mission of the nonprofit. It's a win-win-win for everyone, except the big banks, of course. Groundswell is about to launch its first cards into market, and we're inviting you to be part of this movement as an investor in the company. Go to WeFunder.com/GroundswellCard to learn more. Set up a free WeFunder account and invest in Groundswell today and get your money on mission.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to talk to you about our newest sponsor, Misty's Gardens.com. Now, this is a contraption where you can grow food in your apartment, in a small patio, or if you're like me and you absolutely suck at gardening, this makes life a lot easier. It is a vertical tower garden. We can grow over 20 things at once in a small, compacted area. Good health starts with good habits, like eating wholesome foods, and with tower gardens, you can easily grow your own fresh, nutrient-rich food virtually anywhere year-round without soil. So, Misty'sGardens.com, have a look at it, check it out, buy it, plant, and like it. Misty'sGardens.com.
My toes itch. My back is in pain.
My feet smell.
Well, I suffer from knee and hip pain.
If you suffer from any of those symptoms, Shoeless is a natural foot remedy to treat most symptoms of pain, infection, and other ailments caused by shoes. Shoeless can be applied simply by removing whatever is on your feet. Shoeless is a non-prescription solution to most foot problems that are caused by wearing shoes. In most cases, when using Shoeless, it does not impair your ability to operate a vehicle, walk, run, shop, jump, play, move, dance, sing, flip, or other human activities. Those using Shoeless have reported feeling happy, less pain, better mood, and have a better sense of health and freedom. Other benefits also include eliminating athlete's foot, foot odor, fungus, and other forms of bacteria known to have been caused by shoes. Some users of Shoeless may be told that it's against the law. Ask your doctor for a note when using Shoeless. Other side effects include a higher sense of awareness and in your surroundings. Do not use Shoeless if you are standing in a pit of fire. Using Shoeless may not increase your chances of flying or winning the lottery. However, some users have reported having higher self-esteem and positive attitudes, as well as more confidence. Shoeless is best when used all the time. Use caution when using Shoeless until your body adapts. Shoeless has also been proven to increase learning, attention, help fight depression, and ease effects of autism. Feel free to ask your doctor how Shoeless can benefit you. For more information about Shoeless and its benefits, visit barefootislegal.org. The views and opinions expressed during the BIO radio show are those of the host and not that of Freedomizer Radio or the broadcast affiliates.
Preacher man, don't tell me.
Alrighty, welcome back. 319-527-6208. Again, that's 319-527-6208. Welcome back to the Barefoot is Legal radio broadcast here on the Freedomizer Radio Network. And before the break, we were talking about the history or the legends of how Christmas stockings came about. And hey, this is a great time of year then. If you want to kick them off and never wear shoes or socks again, leave them out, see if they get filled with presents according to the old traditions, and maybe bags of gold will be tossed into your stockings if you hang them. But anyway, we also have Kevin's joining us. Welcome to the Barefoot is Legal show, Kevin. How are you doing this holiday weekend? Thanks for joining us.
Hey, what's up? Everything's cool.
Hey, as always, great to have you. And we always run out of time because there's always so much we talk about. And so it's great having you on a little earlier in the show. So any new adventures, any stories? I see a lot of your posts and stuff and just wanted to see how your adventures were going.
Well, to be honest, I don't have a single story today. Just been a normal week. I think the other day I went to the commissary on base. As usual, no issues there. And of course the places that I've always frequent, like doggone like Dollar Tree, never been an issue. Always never been an issue. Of course, Kroger, never been an issue. So I haven't really been to no new place as of yet. But how matter of fact, I do got a story now that I think about it. My church currently meets at the YMCA for church services, right? And I've been there for about a month and a half, and I've been going there. I've been walking in there barefoot, honestly, but I was carrying my shoes with me in my hand. So and nobody has said anything to me until this past Sunday. I was walking past the people at the front desk, and one of them asked, do you have any shoes on? I'm like, no. You know, and I guess they probably didn't see that my shoes were actually in my hand, you know, and they said, you have to put your shoes on and wherever you are in the building, you know, junk like that. So when service was over, I went back up to the front desk, and normally I don't do this, you know, and I was like, excuse me, you never told me why I needed shoes in the building, you know, and they said, it was their policy, you know, that everybody must have shoes and shirt on, you know, wherever you go in the building and this and that, you know, and I didn't argue with that because number one, I only go there, you know, to meet up with my church members to have
congregation.
Church, and I don't go there for nothing else, you know. And then it's like, you know, why do you need shoes at a recreational building? Okay, unless I was going to play a basketball. You know, which I don't play basketball because I suck at it. The gym, maybe, you know, but it's like in general, why do I need shoes to be at a recreational facility? Now they said it was on the door, which I didn't look for on the door, but I'll be sure to do that if I remember the next time I go. But they said it was their policy, so I left it at that.
Yeah, I mean it's not like you're a member there and you know use the place often. I mean, you just go there, do what you got to do. And how often do you go? What, once a week?
Yes, once a week.
There you go. And, you know, I mean, you just look at it like, yeah, you can argue with them. I mean, first of all, you know, you're going there to worship. You're going there for, you know, the purposes of going to church. And they really shouldn't have much involvement when it comes to that, as far as policies and whatever, because it really, I mean, you could say like, well, hey, you know what, I'm sitting here practicing my religion, and in the Bible it says, you know, scripture says, you know, remove your shoes and this, that, and the other, you're on holy ground, stuff like that. I mean, you could definitely argue that all day. And, you know, when their policies questioned when it comes to discrimination against a religion, they could be in a lot of trouble for that. And this is a YMCA or a YMHA?
Yeah, YMCA.
YMCA, Young Men's Christian Association, as opposed to the Hebrew Association. But either way, you'll find a book in either a verse in either book, the Bible, whether it's Old Testament or New Testament, that they could strongly get behind.
Oh, I see. I didn't bring. Well, no, I really didn't bring up the you know, the, what the scriptures say in John. I didn't think about that. At the time, I just, like, you know, left it at that, you know, and especially since I'm just going there for church, you know what I'm saying? And honestly, it's like, if you think about it, you don't want to, places like that, you're going for a specific purpose, you know, you don't want to, you know, cause a ruckus or cause a scene. You know, like I said, I get argued the laws and, you know, and all the other kind of stuff, you know, but at the same time, it's like, you know, I'm going there for church, you know, and the last thing I need for me is for my pastor to pull me aside and be like, hey, what's going on? Just abide by their rules and this and that, you know. That, you know, I don't need that coming from my pastor. So that's why I just left it. That's why I just left it at that. I'm like, you know, fine. We're only there for 2 hours.
Yeah.
So,
and every situation
then
is different.
Again, yeah, because we meet in a little room, you know what I'm saying? It's like, yeah, when I go in the room, yeah, I can kick my shoes off if I want to. And then when the service is over, put them back on and just walk out the door, you know. But then again, I'm not a fan of putting them on, taking them off, putting them on, taking it off, you know, like some people in the group probably does, you know, wherever they go. You know,
yeah.
I mean, it's like, yeah, you either keep them on or just keep them off. I'm not with all that, taking it off, putting it on. That's too much work.
Of course.
Absolutely too much work.
And, you know, I mean, maybe it's one of those things that you approach them with maybe on the side at a later time, you know, when it's not after or before service. And, you know, you go there, you go through the service, you're there to celebrate and worship the way you want to worship. Without incident for your church, your pastor, you, and the rest of the congregation in the venue that they're welcoming you to. But at one point, maybe going back, like maybe during the week, and say, listen, this has really been bothering me. I've been coming here for X amount of time. And, you know, what you're doing is X, Y, Z, and this is how I feel about it. And maybe having a conversation with a director or someone there, you know, on a different day, maybe a help too. I mean, when it comes to scriptures, I mean, you know, I mean, yeah, like we were saying earlier, I mean, you could argue the Bible, I mean, you know, with them all you want. But I mean, you do have some backup there if it really comes to it. And I have a whole thing of the different scripture quotes I'll dig up if you want, of the different passages in the Bible from the New and Old Testament and everything. You know, when it comes to different shoes, I know that there's in Exodus. I can't remember book, chapter, verse. I do remember in the book of Exodus, I think it's chapter 3 somewhere, one of the very first few lines say, and he said,
yeah,
draw not near here, put off your shoes.
Yeah, it's chapter 3. It's chapter 3, verse 5.
Okay. And another one in Joshua, so now you may have me confused, Joshua 5 maybe. The captain of the Lord said, said to Joshua, lose your shoes. Ecclesiastics also mentions it in shoes, and that could be maybe book 5, and I may have them confused. Keep your keep your foot when you go to the house of God, and be more ready, and so on. Matthew, I baptize you, and this, that, and the other. You know, put off your shoes, sandals. I'm not worthy to carry them. You know, there's so many different references in the Bible to removing your shoes on holy ground. And there's, I'm sure, a lot more that probably escaped me. do not come near here. Remove your sandals from your feet, for this place of which you're standing or place in which you walk is holy ground. You know, if I pull them up, I'll probably be able to identify them a little better. So excuse me if I'm misquoting them or not too sure exactly where they are. But I believe that that one may be in Exodus as well. Deuteronomy, Samuel, I think Ruth, Luke, that Psalms. That, I mean, there's a number of places in the Bible where you can argue that out of religion, and it's written in the Bible that if it's part of your practice, then they're treading water on discrimination. I mean, especially if they're hosting a church that believes in the scripture that that you're quoting from, and you're there practicing it. There's some interesting issues if they want to take it there. And it all depends on how you feel comfortable arguing it, and you would know the position better when it comes to the venue and, you know, how that would work out. You know, I don't want to get you in trouble. But
no,
boy, I can give you the ammunition you need.
Yeah, well, thanks so much. Maybe I should write an email first and see what happens with that.
Yeah, you could. The last
thing I want to do is draw unwanted attention to myself. You know what I'm saying? But moving on, somebody posted in the group. They was kicked out of a HEB store, whatever that is. I don't know what HEB is, but
it could be a local chain or something.
Mm-hmm. This lady, whatever her name was kicked. Posted a video. She was kicked out the store, and I think they threatened to call the cops. Even though she said she has a letter from Corpus saying that she's allowed in to be barefoot, they wouldn't listen to any type of reason or any of that other stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And this is another issue again that barefooters, that the barefoot community run into. So if you got a letter from the corporate saying that they have no policy, you as a store manager or even a low level employee, you can't kick them out. And what do you need to call the cops for? I mean, cops gotta chase bad guys and arrest people. They don't have time. You shouldn't be wasting their time throwing a person out because they got no shoes. And they won't try and charge you with trespassing or whatnot. You know, was end up going in that direction. So from that post, I'm like dumbfounded.
It's absolutely ridiculous how some employees react to the members of the barefoot community, you know, or just the people that live a barefoot lifestyle in general. Because, you know, here you have someone with a letter from corporate that I guess must have ran into an issue before. So they wrote corporate and said, hey, listen, I've been shopping in your store, blah, blah, this, that, and the other. And then, you know, some low-level employee, someone with the, like I call them, the keys to the celery, you know, overzealous employee all of a sudden gets some power somewhere and is on this big power trip. And then they think that they have the ultimate, voice and the ultimate authority to do whatever they want because they have a better name tag or something or a different uniform than everybody else in the store. And then they just create this stuff based on these old myths that they've heard. And here you can sit there with a letter from your corporate office saying, no, you are allowed in this store and we're not going to kick you out. And this is, you know, whatever, we're very sorry this happened. And they still ignore it. I mean, these are the people that they work for. You know, I mean, ultimately they work for the customer. I mean, really, when you think about it, it's not like, you do work for a corporate office if you are a chain or something. So I'm assuming because of the letter, that it is a corporate office. But I don't know. You get these low-level employees that do this stuff, and I just don't get it. Now, there was a great positive story. We have one of our members, Chris, and he was an IHOP or something. And I think he was going to come on the show and talk about it, but it's such a great story where I guess he frequented there often and one server gave him an issue or something, or one manager gave him an issue. And they sat there and called the cops. And the cops sided with the Barefoot member of the group because he said, well, hey, listen, this is the deal. This is what I, this is why. And the cop offered to the Barefoot member, the member of BIL, who was barefoot in IHOP, turned around to him and said, well, would you like to press charges against the restaurant? And he said, well, honestly, I just want to sit here and enjoy my meal like I always have. And the cop is like, well, are you sure? Like, you could press charges if you want for discrimination. And it was just to have it in a report so you can take it to wherever and do with it as you please. The cop was totally on his side. So, I mean, that was a great victory story because a lot of times, you know, people think that, oh, they're going to call the cops. I don't want to be in trouble. Believe it or not, you're not going to get in trouble. Having something on record to actually have and show, you know, for the incident and document it for something like that happens, it goes a long way. And eventually the management there was just like, no, we're very sorry. We don't want any trouble because they're the ones that called the cops. The cops sided with the member, the barefoot person, you know. So that was a...
I'm guessing management didn't have a policy or anything like that.
No, they don't have a policy. But even if they did have a policy, his condition or his reasons or whatever trumped their policy.
So, matter of fact, I know what you're talking about because he has been posting a lot of pictures lately. Matter of fact, he posted his doctor's note. On the page, talk about it's in his best interest to be barefoot because some condition or something that he forgot what it was.
Yeah.
So for in that aspect, okay, now you definitely cannot mess with him if he got a doctor's note saying that he needs to avoid wearing shoes.
Then they shouldn't bother him at all. I mean, it should have been the end of the end of the conversation. They shouldn't have continued to harass him. But even without a doctor's note, according to the law, you're not required to provide proof of medical condition because that's a violation of the HIPAA privacy and all that a business owner is not entitled to. So.
Oh yes, of course.
But a lot of times they do ask. Right. They do say, "Oh well, can you show us proof of this or something?" It's like that's almost like as ridiculous as asking someone to show proof of their religion. I mean, it's like the employees sometimes think that, oh, well, if you have a medical condition, do you have any kind of ID card or something? It's like, no, you don't get an ID card for having a medical condition. Now, yes, I understand that people on disability may have something that says that they're, you know, medical disability or something because they collect Social Security, you know, or something like that, disability. But not everybody with a medical condition or, you know, that belongs to a particular religious practice would have an ID card saying so. It's not even an ID card. It just says, you know, that it collects Social Security or something like that. I remember a case and someone asked someone that a while back, and I don't remember if it was last year or the year before. And I said, that's crazy, because if you present the argument, like, you know, I guess there was a letter or something that was written and a reply back that said, if you have a card or something that states that you have a disability, please share it with us and everything will be fine. Well, I went through that case like you wouldn't believe. They got the legal barrage on that one, you know, as far as violation of privacy and this, that, and the other. And you know, and then there was a similar instance where they're just like, well, if you have anything to prove what religion you are, we'll gladly accept you as a customer in our store. And I mean, who has an ID card that says that they're Catholic or Jewish or Muslim or... You know, I mean, who would have something like that?
Oh, my God. But, I mean, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought that, okay, if you do get a doctor's note, whatever, saying that you had to avoid shoes as much as possible, I thought that you didn't have to show them any of that.
You do not. Nope, not according to the law. You do not have to show them. But a lot of times, you know, some members find that as a useful tool. I mean, it really is just another tool. I mean, no one in this country walks around with a copy of the Constitution in their back pocket to make sure they can say anything they want, that they can carry a weapon, that they can own a gun, that they can have freedom of press, have freedom of speech, have, you know, all these different freedoms of religion and stuff like that. No one carries a copy of the Constitution with them in case anybody says, oh, wait a minute, I don't know if you can say that. Well, yes, I can. It's in the Constitution. Do you have any proof of that? Yes, it's right here. It's almost the same thing. The law is the law. Ignorance of the law is not a defense. And if you look at it that way, it's a very successful win-win opportunity for both parties. You can educate them, or you win on your own because, you know, oh, okay, if you get, you know, all of a sudden, if you do something illegal and you get cited for it, you get a ticket, a citation, or you get arrested for it or prosecuted for it or whatever it is, just because you didn't know it was against the law is not an excuse to not be prosecuted for breaking the law. Speeding, for example, you can't say, well, I didn't know I couldn't speed. Well, there's a speed limit sign right there. Oh, yeah, but I wasn't paying attention to it. I thought it was this. Well, ignorance of, if you did not see that sign or you didn't believe that we were going to give you a ticket, you know, or someone was going to give you a ticket because you, you know, were speeding like 50 and a 25. I mean, then you're out of your mind. Just because you didn't know it was a 25 mile an hour zone, ignorance of the law is not a defense. It's not an excuse. You're not innocent because you didn't know what the law is. And when you put it in perspective that way, when addressing certain issues with companies, they have a tendency to pay attention as well. And, you know, very interesting how you can turn an argument around that way.
Yes, yes, I see. Yeah, you know, because, I mean, you can't, like you said, the law is the law. You really can't. Mm-hmm. Fight the law.
And you know, when it comes down to dealing with police officers, I mean, their job is just to respond to a call and figure it out from there. Their attitude is, well, we're just going to make sure that everything is peaceful by the time we're done. We separate two parties and let a judge figure it out. Okay? So if someone is engaged in a crime, the police will respond, do their own investigation on site and determine whether or not if this person could have been guilty of a crime, or we caught them in the commission of a crime or something like that, and we will go through a process to remove that party from the scene of the crime or incident. Okay? It's the same procedure whether it's domestic violence, a traffic stop, a DUI, a burglary, a robbery, you know, any commission of anything that could be, you know, anybody that's suspicious of a crime, okay, or breaking the law, their job is to respond, make sure that there's peace, make sure that everybody's safe, and then cite whatever it is, they have their day in court, and a judge will figure it out. They're not there to play judge. What they do, though, is, okay, they see someone speeding and there's some other violations or something like that. They have a book or something that they can refer to that says, oh, well, here's a law for this, here's a law for that. They don't even know all the laws, okay? They only know really what civil order is, okay? Clear things are a crime. Someone breaks into a house, if there's evidence of breaking and entering, well, then that person can be taken in. They will be charged with something for a court to figure out. Now, if this guy was breaking into his own house, but he wasn't able to prove that it's his house because he lost his wallet or something, he couldn't identify himself, well, the cops just need to remove that and they'll figure it out in court. Maybe the guy was breaking into his house. See, the police really don't know all the laws, okay, even though they enforce laws. They enforce laws under direction of whoever the complainant is, and if there's a law that could be in violation of. So if some store wants to call the police and you have a copy of the law, well, then the cop can turn around and say, ah, well, here's a copy of the law, and you can't do this. And now the police will enforce the law that they have present in front of them.
Oh, interesting.
So if the store manager or store owners or someone doesn't have a law that can support the reason why they called, but you do, the cops will always side with what the law is. As long as there's no victim, they will always side with the victim. Ah, but if you know what the law is and you can show that you're a victim, then all of a sudden the police will side with you.
You're right. I don't see how the cops would side with the store management anyways. You know, yeah. And it's still true, you know, that a store can make their own rules, make their own policy, regardless of what the law is.
They can,
which is unfortunate.
But not regarding what the law is, and that's the big difference. They can't pass laws or regulate, legislators pass laws, and we can get more on this when we come back. We're coming up to the bottom of the hour break. See you guys in a little bit.
How would you like to make your work more enjoyable, be more creative and relaxed, all while sitting at your desk? That's exactly what my Serenity Rug has done for me. This revolutionary footrest, I can't even call it a footrest, because this thing encourages movement of your feet, which results in more blood flow. While traditional footrests advocate the motionless placement of your feet, I found that I'm unconsciously digging my feet into the long, soft grass strands of the Serenity Rug. It delivers an incredibly relaxing sensation that closely resembles the feeling of an exotic foot massage. If you have ever had a foot massage that made you want to stay there for hours, you know what I'm talking about. If you have not heard about the Serenity Rug, check them out at serenityrug.com and join the exclusive Serenity Rug community and enjoy a feeling of comfort and relaxation that most will never experience. They've sold out before, so I suggest you do your feet a favor and grab one of these. Again, that's serenityrug.com.
Are you members of the Barefoot community looking for a new place to shop, eat, and save? Are you sick of paying full price? Would you like to save money at the places you enjoy most? Well, here's a popular savings book that is full of coupons catered to your local area. It's called Save Around. This book is full of exclusive discounts to help you save money around your town. Yes, that's Save Around. You will save money at restaurants, department stores, cars, even flowers. When I take my family out, there are seven of us. The average meal was about $110 to $140. Last time I took them out, and I'm holding a copy of the receipt right here, the check originally was $120. With the Save Around book, our meal cost $82 at a place we go to quite often. Who knew? And there are a few places we found that we are going to check out. View the books in your area before you buy. Go to freedomizerradio.com or barefootislegal.org. Just click on your city, and within a few days, you will be saving money around town with your new Save Around book.
Did you know that every time you swipe your debit card, those behind-the-scenes transaction fees make the big banks even richer? In 2016 alone, these fees added up to $60 billion. Yes, that's billion with a B. Well, what if there was a way to have the convenience of a debit card, but reroute those fees from the banksters to organizations actually doing good in the world? Organizations that protect the environment or feed hungry children? What if your swipes could literally change the world? Well, Groundswell SPC has found a way to do just that. We've designed a Visa debit card program that shares transaction fees with your favorite cause. Groundswell partners with nonprofit organizations that promote the card to their supporters. Their supporters then use the card to power the mission of the nonprofit. It's a win-win-win for everyone, except the big banks, of course. Groundswell is about to launch its first cards into market, and we're inviting you to be part of this movement as an investor in the company. Go to wefunder.com/groundswellcard to learn more. Set up a free WeFunder account and invest in Groundswell today and get your money on mission.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to talk to you about our newest sponsor, Misty's Gardens.com. Now, this is a contraption where you can grow food in your apartment, in a small patio, or if you're like me and you absolutely suck at gardening,
This makes life a lot easier. It is a vertical tower garden. We can grow over 20 things at once in a small, compacted area. Good health starts with good habits, like eating wholesome foods. And with tower gardens, you can easily grow your own fresh, nutrient-rich food virtually anywhere year-round without soil. So Misty'sGardens.com, have a look at it, check it out, buy it, plant, and like it. Misty'sGardens.com.
My toes itch. My back is in pain.
My feet smell.
Well, I suffer from knee and hip pain.
If you suffer from any of those symptoms, Shoeless is a natural foot remedy to treat most symptoms of pain, infection, and other ailments caused by shoes. Shoeless can be applied simply by removing whatever is on your feet. Shoeless is a non-prescription solution to most foot problems that are caused by wearing shoes. In most cases, when using Shoeless, it does not impair your ability to operate a vehicle, walk, run, shop, jump, play, move, dance, sing, flip, or other human activities. Those using Shoeless have reported feeling happy, less pain, better mood, and have a better sense of health and freedom. Other benefits also include eliminating athlete's foot, foot odor, fungus, and other forms of bacteria known to have been caused by shoes. Some users of Shoeless may be told that it's against the law. Ask your doctor for a note when using Shoeless. Other side effects include a higher sense of awareness and in your surroundings. Do not use Shoeless if you are standing in a pit of fire. Using Shoeless may not increase your chances of flying or winning the lottery. However, some users have reported having higher self-esteem and positive attitudes, as well as more confidence. Shoeless is best when used all the time. Use caution when using Shoeless until your body adapts. Shoeless has also been proven to increase learning, attention, help fight depression, and ease effects of autism. Feel free to ask your doctor how Shoeless can benefit you. For more information about Shoeless and its benefits, visit barefootislegal.org. The views and opinions expressed during the BIL radio show are those of the host and not that of Freedomizer Radio or the broadcast affiliates.
Alrighty there, 319-527-6208 is a way to be a part of the show. 319-527-6208. And yes, we are here with you every Saturday and throughout the week with our group working on that dream to make bare feet, to dispel the myths. I was about to say make bare feet legal. I mean, they already are. Barefoot is legal. I mean, that's what we're here about. So yes, to dispel the myths, working on the dream. And even though it seems so far away, we will one day accomplish that. So before we went to the break, we had some great stories about Kevin. And Kevin's welcome back to the show. And let's have some other callers. Hey. So, coming up in a little bit is the reading of the Barefoot Night Before Christmas, tradition from last year that I started. So we're going to bring that up. If anybody else wants to join us, just press 1. You're in the queue there. 319-527-6208 is how to come by us. Also, check out our website, barefootislegal.org, and our Facebook group and all that. If you live a barefoot lifestyle or are interested in living the barefoot lifestyle, just keep in mind it's not a fetish community. So yep, you will be banned. If you're sincere, genuine about living the style, lifestyle, then join us. Well, anyway, Kevins, welcome back. And just taking it easy this weekend. I know you said you work tomorrow. And before the break, we were talking about, what was this? Yes, the loopholes when it comes to dealing with the police and all that, you know, because lately it's like it seems like a lot of people are saying like, oh, yeah, they wanted to call the cops and about not backing down from that, because the cops will side with someone that lives the barefoot lifestyle over the store employees. And even how having a letter from corporate sometimes, store employees, you give them the keys to the celery. They have a better name tag than everybody else or a different uniform. They still want to attack customers. Still not sure how that works, but seems to be what they're fond of. But one day we will straighten that out. We shall overcome.
Yeah, hope so.
Well, little by little, I mean, I know we're gaining traction and all that. And it's just a matter of how to use the tools. You know, I mean, you could have the best hammer in the world. You know, I mean, we have ID cards. We have the cards that we have for each state with the civil rights on it, human rights. We have the ADA cards, stuff like that, business cards. You know, I mean, you could have the best toolbox in the world, but you have to know how to use it. You're not going to be a master carpenter just because you have a great toolbox. You're not going to be the best mechanic because you have all the tools, sockets, and ratchets in the world. You have to know how to use them. And I hope that that's what, when people tune in, that they're getting that advice, whether it's from us on the radio or whether it's from, you know, the groups and the website and all that. The tools are there. You just need to know how to use them.
Yeah, that's true. I haven't used any of it yet, whether it's the barefoot right cards or stuff like that. I haven't had to use it yet.
You know, I've rarely, and don't forget, I mean, I've had these for a while. And, you know, as long as I've been living the, you know, the barefoot lifestyle, I haven't really used them either. I mean, I have them. I mean, they're on my phone. I have a hard copy, one of each of, you know, of all that, just in case you need it. But I'm, in the past few years since I've had them, I have not had to use them. I mean, very fortunate. I mean, you hear horror stories. People have experiences and stuff. I mean, I'm fortunate enough not to have an experience like that most of the time. And, you know, when there is, it's just a mild skirmish and you just explain it to them and they're just like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't understand. And you move on. So in some instances, very fortunate. But when you do need it, they're there. So that's a good thing that you haven't needed it. You know, it's kind of one of those things when you need it and you don't have it, you wish you had it. You know, it's better to have it and not need it than to need it and not have it.
Yeah, well, you know, I sure like they use it on places like Dollar General and see what they say.
Yeah, actually, you know, I mean, a couple of years ago, there was some new employee at Dollar General, and it's like, oh, wait a minute, you don't have shoes on. Put shoes on, and you can keep shopping. I'm like, no, I'm going to keep shopping. I'm not going to put shoes on. Like, no, it doesn't work that way. You don't issue demands.
No, it doesn't.
I'm a customer. I issue demands. It was some dump Dollar General, too. But it was a dump. Oh, I hate that place. You know, I was just on that one side of town and I had to get something and I have no idea what possessed me. I just needed it at that point or something. And I guess it was just, I was on my way. I don't even remember what it was. I probably talked about it on the air last year at some point. You know, it's kind of like, you know, I don't care. I'm the customer. You don't issue demands. I issue demands. You work for me. I'm paying you. You know.
Yep. That's the world. That's where we live in. You know, we just want to go in there, shop, have a pleasant experience, spend our money on the stuff that we need, and go without any issue or being hassled or anything like that. You know, I mean, it's like, and I think I probably said this some time ago. It's like, and as far as, you know, the discrimination thing or whatnot. I mean, yeah, they say shirt and shoes, right? So it's like, what if I walk in there with a dress on, and what if I go into Dollar Tree dressed like an absolute drag queen? Okay, well, will I still get service? Of course I would. Okay, but let little Johnny walk in there barefoot and say, no, you can't come in here without shoes. Yeah, but then again. Look at that dude. Look at me. I'm dressed like this, but I still get serviced. Just
you know why?
I'm wearing some height.
You want to know why?
Just wearing...
Nope.
Yes,
because the community, the LGBTQ drag community and all that, have made such a big stink about all the oppression that they were under. They bound together, they stood up for their rights, and they said, we're not going to take it anymore. And so people are afraid to question that. And little by little, we're doing the same thing. Of course, our movement's not as big as that. But...
Oh, no. You know, it's like the LG... I think the LGBT community is probably under a protected class.
They are now. Yes. They demanded that protection. You know. They went out there. They protested. They did everything they had to. To be recognized as such. And little by little, I mean, the BIO community is getting there too. I mean, the barefoot community is getting there. And I don't want to just say BIO. You know, it's not just barefoot is legal. I mean, there are other organizations. There are other people out there that may not even belong to Barefoot is Legal. I mean, we're the main organization that is doing this. We're the main organization that's set up as a nonprofit. We are the main organization with the radio show, the toll-free numbers, the legal teams, the corporate communication teams, and all that. I mean, we're the ones sitting there on the forefront doing this. But you do have other organizations out there with members and people that belong to them that may not belong to BIO that really, I mean, they're not as activist-minded, but they enjoy the lifestyle, and that's okay. Everybody has their certain degree of comfort, and everybody has a certain degree of involvement that they want to involve themselves in. You know, they can only commit so much or whatever, and that's fine. I mean, but the fact is that if you want to live the lifestyle, you have to stand up for your right to live that lifestyle. And little by little, we will get that same respect.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Because the thing is, like, who are we bothering? Like, who are we offending? And the answer is no one.
That's just it.
You know?
It's the people that don't understand. And that was the main problem with the LGBTQ community as well. People just didn't understand that lifestyle. They also had a lot of judgment against it. They sat there saying, oh, well, it's a sin. It's not God's way. It's not this way. It's not that way. It's unclean. It's this, it's that, and the other. And they had a lot of resistance that way. People just didn't understand. Now, what we should do maybe is go into bakeries and order barefoot wedding cakes.
Oh, interesting.
You heard that story. You know, some bakery refused to make a wedding cake for a homosexual marriage. And, you know, that was one of the really big lawsuits, and they took it all the way up to the Supreme Court and all that. But, yeah, there you go. What if we start having foot cakes made? I bet that'll definitely draw some attention. And, of course, when it comes to – we should erect the largest foot next to the world's largest Christmas stocking. Which if anybody has the answer to that, definitely call in. 309-527-6208. Before we run out of time today, though, in keeping with my holiday tradition here on the Barefoot is Legal radio show, I would like to play for you my reading of The Barefoot Night Before Christmas. So I hope you enjoy.
"'Twas the night before Christmas, barefooting all over the town. Not a shod one was stirring, not even a clown. Shoes and stockings were not needed, our bare feet were grounded and very well heated. Visions of stores without rude no-shoe signs linger in my head, rude oppressive people that we all still dread. In a store I was wandering all through the aisles, my last-minute shopping was stacked in a pile. When just at that moment, an employee came in a clatter, looked at my feet and said, what was the matter? I looked back at them and responded in a flash, what do you mean, you misinformed, ignorant rash? He said he's the manager and the enforcer of all make-believe laws, the shoe police and the one who spews hate and all. Well, I reached into my pocket and pulled out my papers. I called him out on all his rude manners. On Health Department, Civil Rights, ADA and Laws, Department of Justice, he knew we had a cause. but when I was done, he looked like a jerk. As he walked out of sight, I heard him exclaim, "Have a Merry Barefoot Christmas, and to all barefoot tonight."
Well, there you have it. I wanted to make sure we got to that before we ran out of time. And, of course, I do hope that everybody has a happy, safe, and barefoot holiday this holiday season. New Year's resolutions are coming up next, of course. And next week, we're going to be discussing a lot of that. We have a lot of new members, a lot of new folks that are joining the community for the first time and setting their goals for the upcoming year, our special New Year's Eve, the eve of New Year's afternoon before New Year's Eve episode, I guess we could call it. So.
Oh, shoot.
Yep, you're on. You're back with us.
my earpiece fell out.
Oh.
Hello.
Yep. Still here.
I'm sorry. My earpiece fell out.
It's okay. Hey, as long as you can hear us, as long as we can hear you, everything's good.
Oh, awesome. Oh, matter of fact, was there any other callers?
There were a few callers. However, some of them were trolls. They just wanted to tell me that I hope I die in a sleigh accident or something with Adam Sandler or something snowboarding.
What?
You know, the typical trolls that happen during the radio show that come on, that try to get on the air. They're just like, "Hi, I'm so-and-so from wherever. I love being barefoot. And by the way, you can blah, 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 blah." And I'm like, "Yeah, okay, yeah, yeah. You're not going to make it on the air." See, we pretend to put them on the air. Yeah. See, we pretend to put them on the air, and then they start their thing. I'm not going to reveal all my secrets about the screening process on the air, but that's always fun. I got some wonderful holiday wishes, and as always, after I'm done with the broadcast, I'm sure I'll have 100 different private messages through Facebook telling me how terrible I am. And that we're hurting businesses and blah, 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 blah. But you know how it is. I'm okay with that. It comes with the territory.
Yes, it does. You got to be able to deal with whatever life throws at you.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
Goodness gracious.
So, yeah. That was just one of those interesting things. So we're not going to put too many more callers on. We're almost out of time anyway.
Yes, we are. Matter of fact, I think it was last Saturday? Yeah, it was last Saturday. I was at Target, and of course, I never have an issue at Target. I was looking for a particular item, and I had to ask for some assistance, you know, and the person and the lady that I was talking to was glad to help me, and there was no mention of my bare feet at all. It's like she wasn't even paying attention. So like, oh, yeah. Okay, good times.
Yeah, so that's the way it normally is. But you know, I mean, we do have people out there that have issues, and we're here to help them with their issues. And you know, I mean, unfortunately, like I said, it's the low-level employee that all of a sudden gets the keys to the celery, and they think that everything's about to explode like the scene from Ghostbusters. Everything's going to go flying off the shelves. Customers are going to get bombarded with jars of pickles. You know, I mean, the cheese, milk, a cow will go flying around the store, and as long as you wear shoes, you'll be okay. I mean, the whole roof could fly off that store. You know, or you could step on a crumb, you know, on the floor of a restaurant. And, you know, if you drop a steak knife on your foot, then, you know, as long as you have a flip-flop on, you're okay. It was funny. I made a comment on the... Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Right, go ahead, Kevin.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's like... Don't start losing my train. I think I lost my train of thought. But it's like, okay...
when some grocery stores they'll put a little actually they'll put some sanitation wipes by the front door for you to wipe down your cart,
your shopping cart, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, your shopping cart. But at the same time, how many people really do that?
I've always looked at those, and it's kind of funny. I mean, when you look at, okay, think about it. Cross-contamination is a big thing when it comes to food, okay? Someone that may have had meat from the meat department sitting in the basket without a plastic bag, someone else is going to use that same shopping cart and put tomatoes or an apple in there, okay? Wiping the handle down is not going to prevent cross-contamination. And cross-contamination is a big thing in the food business that the health department really looks at. I don't know if anybody's ever thought of that.
No, I have not.
Ah, but if you have a box of crackers that you put in your shopping cart and someone just had chicken or something in that shopping cart, now all of a sudden you could potentially cross-contaminate your entire pantry. I'm a big fan of grabbing a wet shopping cart on a rainy day because I know it's been washed off outside in the rain. This way I don't have to, when I go in the store, use like 50 to 60 of those wipes just to sit there like I'm washing a car when I use a shopping cart.
You have to wash it inside and out. wipe it inside.
I'm not that extreme. But you get my point.
Yeah, so I mean the health and sanitation issue is honestly overblown. It's completely overblown. You know, and if somebody tells you that there is a health and sanitation issue, I'll be like, well, you know what, sir? Well, number one, you know, I just passed by the produce department. And I saw your worker putting apples on the shelf, but he don't have no gloves on.
Without gloves,
so we don't know where his hands have been. We don't know if he washed his hands before he did that. He probably picked his nose or whatever the case may be. But he's still putting fruit on the shelf.
He is, so, and it's ready to eat food with bare hand contact, which is a violation of the health department. To eat food must be handled with gloves or a clean utensil that has not been cross-contaminated. So if you're sitting there putting apples on a shelf or something, then technically you're in violation of the health department. Now, the health department doesn't look at it quite like that because they think that, well, technically it's still in the store. It's not particularly ready to eat. If it was served in a restaurant being put on a plate, then it's ready to eat. They have a divider there. Because they would expect people to wash an apple before they eat it or something like that, or peel an orange. You see what I'm saying? However, technically, those foods in the eyes of health department regulations are ready to eat. And as long as anything's ready to eat, it must be handled by a food employee with gloves, according to the health laws, or not laws, regulations and policies, because the health department doesn't pass laws.
You know, and you're right. One last thing before we wrap up this edition, it's like Food Lion. You know, I got the letter and a call corporate. You know about that. You know, and junk like that, saying it's okay because it will accommodate customers for personal religious reasons. But at the same time, it's almost like I don't even want to go in there sometimes. You know, and it's like, and Food Lion is the closest grocery store to my house, but then again, I normally zoom past them and drive all the way down, further down the street to freaking Kroger.
Yeah.
You know, based upon the two incidents that I had with two different managers. You know, like I said, I got the letter and everything, but it's almost like crap. I don't even want to go in there because of that.
Yeah, the lack of consistency in management and the ignorance to what the health department really says is a big problem with a lot of big businesses like that. And, they just don't get it sometimes. But we're coming down to the end of our special holiday episode. I hope that everybody has a wonderful and safe holiday. Whatever you're celebrating, Harambee, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Namaste, whatever you say, just have a happy barefoot holiday. And hope to see you next time. Check out our website, barefootislegal.org. Everybody have a wonderful one. Keep them bare.